Man-seeker, St. Lucian are people with great aspirations. We are by nature a hard-working people with a desire to prosper and always looking for opportunities for advancement. It is important that we prepare our people to take their place in a rapidly changing world. We need to define a vision for our country to help St. Lucians find a place for themselves in this new exciting world. To achieve this, government must lead. Government must give direction. Government must inspire. Government must be truthful. Government must not only give direction, but most of all, government must lead by example. In 2006, the people of St. Lucia voted for change. They were prepared to chance their future on the promises made in the manifesto of the United Workers' Party. 4 years later, the people have seen their hopes dashed. They did not vote to hear a government complaining. They did not vote for a government that would become arrogant, selfish, and obsessed with control and lust for power in only 4 years. They did not vote for a government that would only be concerned with its own political survival, that would say whatever was convenient just to remain in political power. They did not vote for a government that would send mixed and confusing signals, a government that would distort facts even when they seemed as clear as daylight, a government that would pretend to be interested in its reputation abroad but would spin a State Department report for political benefit, a government that would year after year make empty promises, make statements that are clearly untrue, use propaganda, and hire highly paid spin doctors to deflect the truth. Madam Speaker, the government is confused. It lacks direction. It changes policy for short-term political gain and practices sometimes deception and subterfuge to assure its political survival. The government is unclear as to what direction to take the economy of St. Lucia. The government of St. Lucia has squandered the foundation left in 2006. They have missed opportunities, and their failed policies has led to near economic ruin, increased crime, desperation, and confusion among the people, and in particular, the young people of St. Lucia. Of course, Madam Speaker, we are experiencing a global recession. We are experiencing some difficulties. But that recession, Madam Speaker, has created opportunity for the government to be creative, to prepare the economy to rebound after the recession, which will not last forever. Madam Speaker, has the government initiated any policies that would ensure that businesses survive in the era of the European Partnership Agreement, the single market economy, or the CARICOM single market and economy? Instead of the government assisting the private sector by reforming the laws pertaining to insolvency, laws pertaining to corporate restructuring, laws that will stem the forces that threaten the survival of local business, they have instead embarked on punitive taxation measures that will only hurt business expansion, growth, and increase unemployment among the young people. From 2006, Madam Speaker, the government have taxed dividends. They have taxed interest payable to non-residents. That's created a disincentive for investment. They have increased property taxes and increased the burden on people who have newly acquired houses, newly acquired homes. They have increased the tax burden on these people by increasing the property tax. In typical style, the government pretended to increase mortgage interest exemptions for first-time homeowners. But on the other hand, they have increased property tax for these same first-time homeowners. Businesses, Madam Speaker, need to grow, not stifled by taxation and intense scrutiny and harassment based on advice from non-solution tax experts, not those in the realities of doing business in solution. Taxation, Madam Speaker, the taxation burden in this country is too onerous on businesses, particularly small businesses, Madam Speaker. And Madam Speaker, speaking of property taxes, there needs to be a conversation on the price of land in St. Lucia. If we continue at this rate, young people will not be able to own a piece of St. Lucia. There needs to be a conversation. We have to decide whether we are reserving land for young people to be able to purchase, so that they can have a future and have a stake in the country. Madam Speaker, the government blames the poor state of the solution economy on the global recession. There is something to blame. If it's not a global recession, it's the Labour Party. I agree that we experience recession. I agree that there are economic challenges, but these hardships have also created opportunity for government, if the government had any vision, and if the government was thinking, and if the government was united. These opportunities, these hardships could have created opportunity for the people of St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, whilst we are speaking about a recession, the St. Lucia government has received more funding from the IMF than any of its other OECS counterparts. Madam Speaker, St. Lucia received $10.7 million from the IMF shock facility, what the member of the South East Cassis called free money. Grenada received $6.8 million from the IMF. St. Vincent, $5.7 million. Dominica, $5.1 million. And St. Kitts, $3.1 million. So in the time of recession, the opportunity was created, and the government of St. Lucia, they received more money than any of the other economies in the OECD. More money than any of the other economies in this year. What have we got to show for that? Unemployment of about 40% among young people, 40% among young people, and Madam Speaker, I quote from the review, the review on the economy by the National and Economic Council, which this government formed. Unemployment of about 40% among young people. Madam Speaker, St. Lucia has received the largest bond issue in the OECD, more than any other country in the OECD, Madam Speaker. So under the largest bond issue, St. Lucia has received the largest bond issue than in more than any other country in the OECD, Madam Speaker. The government of St. Lucia, the largest bond issue, Madam Speaker, St. Lucia in the OECD. The government of St. Lucia is the first government that is in the fortunate position of being able to make $3 on every gallon of gas that is sold. This government is the only government in recent times that has the fortune of receiving $3 on every gallon of gas sold. Every minibus driver, every taxi driver, when he buys 1 gallon of gas, the government receives $3, Madam Speaker. And as we speak, the price of gas is the highest ever in St. Lucia, more than $13 per price of gas. And if the government continues on that policy, if and when gas reaches or oil reaches $100 per barrel, the price of gas will be about $19 for the regular vehicle owner in St. Lucia. We warned the government. We told the government that when the price of oil reached at a particular level, they should take the profit that they make on gas. But no man figure. The government is the government is only interested in revenue, not understanding the hardship that the poor people of George Charles Boulevard have to undergo. Not understanding that when the price of fuel increases, the price of every other commodity increases. Not understanding, Madam Speaker, what the people in Rose Hill and Mondedon, what they have to deal with. The government continues to make $3 on every gallon of gasoline. And as time continues, as time goes, Madam Speaker, if this policy, if there is not a change in that policy, the people of the nation will have to pay between $19 and $20 for a gallon of petrol, if the price of petrol continues to increase on the world market. And I understand, don't give me the excuse that we do not produce petrol. I know that. That is not news. You haven't got to have the wisdom of Solomon to know we do not produce oil in St. Lucia. What I can tell you is your policies in St. Lucia. If your economy was growing at an acceptable rate, if your policies were such, we would not have to put that burden of $3 profit on every gallon of gas that you buy. And further, the government of St. Lucia, the government of the United Workers Party, is the only government in the last 10 years that has been able, this government, to make revenue on the sale of gasoline to the people of St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, the government of St. Lucia has engaged in borrowing of over $500 million from 2007 with nothing to show for that. Nothing to show for that borrowing. Still, the economy experienced negative growth of -5.2% in 2009. And the government takes comfort in the fact that the entire OECS is suffering from the same problem. But St. Lucia was always better than the other islands in the OECS. We always experienced better growth. We always had more expansion in our economy. We cannot judge our performance on mediocrity. We cannot judge our performance by saying St. Lucia did not do that badly. St. Lucia must do better. We cannot have our performance judged on mediocrity. What has the government done for the money borrowed? Where has the money gone? What benefits have the people enjoyed? In 2006, when this government came into power, the growth rate was 7.37%. They have squandered that position by engaging in wasteful and extravagant expenses, like the purchase of a derelict building for over $36 million. And they are planning to spend more than $40 million on that derelict building. And I'm putting it to you, Madam Speaker, by the time when this government decides to do something with that derelict building, the cost, that building will have to be demolished. It will have to be demolished, and the $36 million would have gone down the drain. This government has never come in this honorable house and give honorable members any description, any report on the physical state of that building when they decided to invest $36 million of taxpayers' money in that derelict building. Madam Speaker, they are planning to build new office buildings, but at the same time, they increase rental expenses by over $4 million per year. These are the flashing mirrors. They complain about rental expenses. They complain about expenditure, but they are spending this year, and it is in the estimates, over $4 million on increased rental expenses. If the government is talking about sacrifice, why can the government say, instead of building luxurious offices to boost the egos of ministers, why can't the government make the sacrifice that they're asking the poor people of Bokash to make, and stay in the offices that they are now while they wait for the construction of the offices? They are renting. They're taking $4 million of taxpayers' money to rent new offices while they say that they are building a new office block. A new office block. Yes, last year we heard about a new office block somewhere in La Prairie, in Ville Bouteille. Now it's moved. It's by the waterfront. That's what we heard last year. Last year we heard that La Prairie would be a new place that have fire stations, office blocks, etc. Now that has changed. Now the office blocks are going to be built in the waterfront. And speaker. But still for that, they cannot wait. They cannot wait. To boost their egos, they have to spend $4 million more on luxurious office spaces. The government, man, speaker, has no clear investment strategy or public sector investment policies. The investment policies are based on what the Honorable Prime Minister calls an advanced stage of development. That is what the foreign investment is based on, an advanced stage of development. Madam Speaker, in 2007, the government, speaking about its public sector investment program, they decided that they would build a central region tunnel connector project, the West Central Quadrant, and the Castries Economic and Development Program. That was in 2007, Madam Speaker. In 2008, Madam Speaker, budget 2008, the government spoke about development of the Castries cruise port, and I quote, for which an agreement that will give effect to this initiative in the coming weeks. In the coming weeks, that's in 2008, the development of the Castries cruise port would happen. In the same 2008, they spoke about the redevelopment of the Castries business district. They spoke about the development and expansion of the Beaufort port, and to quote the Prime Minister, for which in the coming weeks, Dubai, that's when they had the trip to Dubai, Dubai Port World is expected to conclude a public-private partnership. That was in 2008. In the same page 14, in your budget, in 2008, the same year, the government spoke about development and expansion of the Beaufort Free Zone, for which is part of the agreement with Dubai Port. That's in 2008. In 2008, they spoke about the upgrade of the Hiwanura Airport. We will talk about that a bit later, Madam Speaker. We will talk about it. The Prime Minister, Madam Speaker, also promised in the same budget in 2008, development of a new cruise port at Beaufort. When the Prime Minister advised the House, and I quote, plans are at an advanced stage to establish a major new cruise terminal and commercial and duty-free center in the vicinity of Il Pirata. The Prime Minister continued, a developer has already been identified and discussions are being held with a leading cruise operator. That was in 2008, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, this meant that this government was promising a cruise port in Castries and a cruise port in Beaufort. And now I hear one in Supra. In 2008, Madam Speaker, that same government, on page 16 of the budget, promised expansion of the George S.L. Charles Airport. That same government, expansion of the George S.L. Charles Airport. And the Prime Minister at the time said that the finances had been found for the Agency for French Development and has kindly consented to become involved, and I quote, in the financing and in the next few days, an agreement will be signed with the French authorities. In the next few days. That's in 2008, Madam Speaker. We are in 2010, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, and I will not bore you with the head oil refinery. 2008. Let that bygones be bygones. Water under the bridge. In terms, Madam Speaker, of other investment strategies, Madam Speaker, in terms of other investment strategies, let me tell you what the Prime Minister promised in 2008, Madam Speaker, page 17 of the budget, 2008. Here's what the Prime Minister promised. form Bay Resort in Miku, an upmarket private club resort development that will include 320 family homes and townhouses. This development is estimated to cost $550 million. Next promise, the Chumase Resort in Miku, a mixed-use resort residential community that will include 500 luxury hotel rooms, 184 condominiums, and 20 oceanfront villas. Resort amenities will include a signature 18-hole championship golf course, a marina lagoon, a tennis center, and approximately 125,000 square feet of retail land, of retail space in Miku. The government also promised Safi Estate residences and marina complex in Labri, and here's how they described it: a unique luxury resort complex with 150 rooms, 5-star hotel, 112 townhouses, 140 condominiums, and 40 fractional condominiums, 22 villas and 20 estate lots, and marina complex condominium. Now, speaker. The 5-star mixed hotel and residential development is to create much needed employment in Labri and its environment, Madam Speaker. Still, in 2008, the government promised the Ritz-Carlton, known, and here's what the Prime Minister says, known as one of the best, if not the best, luxury hotel brand in the world. And here's what he promised there. He said the resort will include 50-room Ritz-Carlton hotel, 224 condominium units, and known as the residences of Ritz-Carlton. 48 penthouse units, a 20,000 square foot state-of-the-art spa treatment, and Arnold Palmer championship golf course, and 20,000 square feet clubhouse, golf clubhouse. He promised in the same year, Rivadore Resort in Chozel. Rivadore Resort in Chozel in the same year. And here's what he said the Rivadore Resort in Chozel would encompass, Madam Speaker. No wonder some people call the budget karaoke. That will encompass a 150-room hotel that will be managed by internationally recognized hotel operating company, Madam Speaker. A signature golf course, craft outlet to take advantage of the strong craft tradition of the village of Chozel. Still more development, the Magwe Tooth Resort in Sufre. And then he says, to give the flashing mirror, an initiative that was started by the previous administration. And here's what he said, Madam Speaker. It will include 3.5 bedroom villas and a treetop spa facility. A treetop. The result is that the result, my figure, is expected to cost over $250 million. Man, speaker, listen further. I'm quoting the Prime Minister. In addition to the development already named, advanced planning work is already underway on a new large-scale development at Fodo in January. And at, what is that? R-O-U-C-H-E Island, north of and adjacent to Fodo Bay in January, at Louvet Beach, at Grandens Beach, and two distinct sites in the Pigeon Point Causeway and at Montpiman Rodney Bay, where an ultra-luxury Banyan Tree Resort is to be developed. So we have a treetop spa and a Banyan Tree Resort. All of these new and promised developments are in addition to ongoing construction activity, Madam Speaker. Within 1 year, we'll add another 2,000 rooms to the existing stock. Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister promised at that time construction of at least 7 major resort developments right around the island. Madam Speaker, I want to ask you whether there has been any movement in this water, this project. But Madam Speaker, I hear the Prime Minister and his colleagues being excited. They will tell me, oh, there was the world economic crisis. Oh, there was the recession. Oh, financing was hard to come. That's what they tell me, Madam Speaker. But Madam Speaker, in that same year, in next year, in 2009, when the Prime Minister proclaimed crisis in the world economy, you know what he went on to promise? Transformation of January as the textile and garment center of St. Lucia. Ah boy, all the clothes will be built, will be made in January. And the member for Denry smiled. The only garment, you can't even find a tailor shop in January. But the Prime Minister promised January will be the textile and garment center of St. Lucia, built by a public-private partnership. Madam Speaker, it's in the budget 2009. It's in the budget, Madam Speaker. But, Madam Speaker, in this year, the Prime Minister has forgotten, or better yet, the promises have disappeared. And in 2010, he speaks of development of magnitude in Supra, expansion of jalousy, which he calls, in another part of the budget, Type B. The same thing, jalousy, but he calls it Type B, in the other Type B hotel, in the other part of the budget, Madam Speaker. But Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister will say and blame the recession. But why mention these projects when he knows, and honorable members know, that even in the best of times, it would be impossible for so many of these projects to be built in 1 year. He knows that, Madam Speaker. But Madam Speaker, while there is no investment happening in St. Lucia, investment is taking place in other parts of the region. In St. Vincent, as we speak, a major hotel is being built and will be opened in soft opening in July, Madam Speaker. Investment happening in Jamaica, in Barbados. A Ritz-Carlton hotel is being built as we speak. In Jamaica, new hotels are being built, Madam Speaker. But in St. Lucia, no investment, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, why not? Why aren't investors not invested in St. Lucia while they invest in other countries in the region? You know why, Madam Speaker? Lack of confidence. In St. Vincent as we speak, a new hotel is near completion. As we speak, Madam Speaker, but as we speak, Madam Speaker, but in St. Lucia, there is no investment. Regardless of all the excuses, the government of St. Lucia was not elected in office to make excuses. The government of St. Lucia was elected to find solutions to the problems of the country, not to make excuses. Madam Speaker, but you know, Madam Speaker, but the Prime Minister speaks about a national investment office. I see a bird flying somewhere. A national investment office. That's what the Prime Minister, I see a bird. A bird, yes. When I hear about these things, national, because I know that when the government was in power, I know this government inherited it. They inherited a National Development Corporation, an NDC, that was the one-stop investment agency for St. Lucia. I also know that the NDC has powers to do several things. Issue work permits, a whole set of initiatives. A whole of power lies in the NDC. So why are we forming a national investment office? What will happen to the NDC? What will happen to the hard work of the minister who is in charge of the NDC? The minister who does all, who needs in his capital budget an investment promotion and an investment promotion line so that he can increase investment. You forming a national investment office? I see something flying. Yes, Madam Speaker. But that's it. The government. Another layer of bureaucracy. Another layer. So then, when you go to the NDC, now you have to go to the National Investment Office. When you leave there, you have to go back to the NDC. Then leave the NDC, go back to the National Investment Office. Why? Why, Madam Speaker? Why? Why? Isn't the minister in charge of NDC capable to deal with investment? NDC has the power. And you, Mr. Prime Minister, you are Minister of National Development. Or Minister of Development, what you say you are? Minister of Development, I think, sorry. And you have a minister in charge of NDC. What are you doing with a National Investment Office? Madam Speaker, while the government complains about the recession, the young people are becoming desperate and hopeless. The government refuses to implement policies that will ease the unemployment situation among the young people. To increase employment, Madam Speaker, in the manufacturing sector, and the government only this year, it seems to give lip service to manufacturing, only this year. While the government, in every budget, from 2007, the government promises to implement the export development strategy. From 2007, every budget, Madam Speaker, the government speaks about the export development strategy. Now, Madam Speaker, I will tell you what the export development strategy is all about. The export development strategy has been documented from 2005. When I left the Ministry of Trade in 2006, there was a document, and there is a document, called the Export Development Strategy. But Madam Speaker, what has happened to it? And you can't just blame the recession for that. Because the World Bank and CFTC, they've given technical support for work on the Export Development Strategy. That's not because of the recession. There is funding available in the system for the export development strategy. But Madam Speaker, the government is guilty of gross neglect in not moving the export development strategy, Madam Speaker. Because Madam Speaker, you know why? In 2007, the Minister of Trade was sleeping on the job. So he did not have the time. He did not have the wherewithal to drive the export development strategy. When the other minister came in 2009, I think, or 2008, I forget when he came. Now because they changed Minister of Trade so much, I don't remember when he came. He started to deal with work on the export development strategy. And now this minister is trying something. I don't know how long she'll be there, because you know how it is in government. Changing Minister of Trade. But Madam Speaker, the export development strategy is the strategy that will help the manufacturing sector, that will give manufacturers a framework. The export development strategy would deal with singling out exports of products that can lose as a competitive advantage in production. And help, of course I support it. The export development strategy came in my time when I was Minister of Commerce. Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister, and that's a fact, Madam Speaker, it's a fact. It's very sound but true. Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister speaks to the private sector. But from 2007, the government in every budget speaks about implementation of the Micro Business Act to assist small businesses. In fact, this government had stopped the subvention to small businesses. They stopped it for 2 or 3 years. And it's only in this budget I see the government, they've made a contribution of $100,000 to small businesses. I hope Flinsburg gets that $100,000. Because they stopped it for 2 years, Madam Speaker. And that subvention is overdue. And I really hope that Flinsburg gets it. But Madam Speaker, to ease the unemployment situation, you have to develop small businesses. Again, the Small and Micro Business Act was a law that this government found in the in the Ministry of Trade, the small and micro business act manager, and there was funding for the European Development for the EU to incorporate these small businesses to make them, turn them into companies so that they could access some of the facilities available under the Small and Micro Business Act manager. And several governments moving forward with that. From 2007, it's only in 2010 when an effort is being made to deal with that. What was happening in the years before? Madam Speaker, the young people, the owners of small businesses that have closed because of the recession, the owners of small businesses who have had to lay off staff, Madam Speaker, they are the ones who are suffering, not the government. They are the ones who are suffering because of the government neglect of the small business sector, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, to ease the unemployment crisis, the government must pay more attention to the services sector. You speak about the EPA, you speak about CariForum, Madam Speaker, but you must pay more attention to the service sector. Studies have shown that Telusha has a comparative advantage in the provision of services. Under the EPA, Madam Speaker, Telusha has liberalized some 65% of the services in commitment through commitment made to the EC and the CariForum Economic Partnership Agreement. They have liberalized 65% of its services. You know what that means, Madam Speaker? That means that 65%, and I can list them to you if you so minded. That means, Madam Speaker, that let me tell you the services that Telusha has liberalized. The services for which we face competition. Madam Speaker, these services we have liberalized some 65% of our services sector to include business services, architecture, engineering, medical services, legal services. That means doctors, lawyers, engineers, architects, and consultants. Madam Speaker, we have liberalized these services under the EPA. So what that means is there is no more protection for these services under the EPA when the EPA comes into force next year, Madam Speaker. But Madam Speaker, in spite of that, we have agreed that Telusha has a competitive advantage in the provision of these services. What must the government do, Madam Speaker? The government must push the services sector. The government must invest in the Telusha Coalition of Services. The government must take time to deal with that sector, Madam Speaker, because the Telusha Coalition of Services is an organization that was formed in 2006. And I suspect it's only because it was formed in 2006 that the government is neglecting it. Because the government wants Telusians to forget. They want Telusians to forget what happened in this economy, the development and the growth in this economy between the years 1997 and 2006. So the government has allowed the Telusha Coalition of Services. There is no mention of any subvention or any support for the Telusha Coalition of Services. And the Telusha Coalition of Services is what is going to help the services sector so that they can create employment for the young people of Telusha, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, that is how we get ourselves out of the recession. That is how we get ourselves out of the recession, by looking for new opportunities, by looking for new avenues for our young people, by looking for new jobs for our professionals. That's how we get out of the recession, Madam Speaker. Not by complaining and playing politics with every step of the way. Madam Speaker, the government is confused in its policies for employment creation. The government promised to build 5 ICT parks as part of a strategy to eradicate poverty and create employment. These parks, and it's in the 2007 budget, were supposed to be financed from a $104 million grant included in the budget as grants from China, not Taiwan, from China. Instead, the government has played politics by encouraging the Taiwanese to put computers in political offices. Instead of dealing with the 5 ICT parks that could create employment. And Madam Speaker, if you go to the budget of 2007, the 2007, they even said where they would build, where they would put these computer offices, these ITT parks, Ancillary, Mabuya Valley, Labri, Denrian, and somewhere else, and Miku, not Wado, and Miku. And Monday, myself, that man's figure, in plain politics, and the Minister of External Affairs, in one of his flashes of brilliance, made the point, that these computers should not be in political offices. They should not be in political offices. But man speaker, but they have forgotten the plan to put ICT parks. They have forgotten the plan to put ICT parks in these areas, but they put it in political offices. Man speaker, the government has no clear policy for helping youth unemployment. And it confuses spending on social capacity building with social spending for political purposes. They confuse the building of capacity, social capacity building, with social spending for political purposes. They confuse it, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, while the young people are unemployed, while mothers have difficulties in sending their children to school, the government continues to make excuses. And some people say, give the guys a chance. By the Buglashan, Kite Gouvernement Assis. While the government is getting a chance, let Flamboka di, by Gouvernement Assis, paye Kadison. Sen moun pa travay, moun pa sa gen manje, le yon ka di, by Gouvernement Assis. Yo pate elekte Gouvernement pou bayon chance. Yo elekte Gouvernement pou travay pou moun an paye. Madam Speaker, the people of St. Lucia are living in fear. They are concerned about the rising crime. They know now that it was not the Labour Party. It was not the Labour Party that caused the increase of crime in St. Lucia. But they recognize that the Labour Party had clear policies for combating crime. And it was work in progress. It was work in progress. Because we understand and we know that crime is any crime is too much. Any one murder is too much, Madam Speaker. But the people have understood now that the Labour Party is not in power and the most heinous crimes continue to be committed in St. Lucia, Madam Speaker. And I feel sorry for the victims of these crimes, Madam Speaker. They know, Madam Speaker, they know that political talk will not alleviate the lack of security and the fear to live in St. Lucia. They understand that the minister with responsibility for crime must be dedicated. He must be on the job. He must do the work. And he must not be obsessed with gaining political advantage and to win a political seat. He must spend his time in his office working to alleviate, to initiate policies to alleviate the crime problem in St. Lucia. That is what the people of St. Lucia want from the Minister of National Security, Madam Speaker. Never before, Madam Speaker, has any in the history of St. Lucia, have we ever seen a situation where a minister is deserting the job that the taxpayers are paying him to do to play politics in a constituency? Not even, Madam Speaker, ministers who have won their seats. Not even ministers who have won their seats, Madam Speaker. Not even ministers who have won their seats are so upset with staying in power. But Madam Speaker, despite that, Madam Speaker, the crimes continue. And only 2 weeks ago, a magistrate was shot like never before in the history of St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, but a magistrate shot. And I want to take this opportunity for you, Madam Speaker, to express my concern and wish the magistrate well, Madam Speaker. A magistrate was shot, Madam Speaker, never before. And you can't blame the government for that. No, you can't blame the government for that. But in the same way, you couldn't blame the opposition. So when you had all your newspaper ads for the election in 2006, when you had all your ads blaming the Labour Party for crime, I want you, Madam Speaker, I want the members of the United Workers Party to have the fortitude and to have the honesty to come to the people of St. Lucia and say, through my fault, through my fault, through my own grievous fault. Madam Speaker, the government blames everyone. The government blames everyone for crime. The government blames everyone for crime except itself, Madam Speaker. But while they're speaking about crime, they are starving the police of resources. They are starving the police of resources. Despite the promises of the Prime Minister, the police still have no automated fingerprinting system, while housebreaking continues to compromise our safety and our security. The police have no communication system, including an archaic telephone system. I think that the telephone, the walkie-talkie system the police have, it can only work from Bridge Street to headquarters. That is the communication system that the police have, Madam Speaker. The border control system at the immigration is still a nightmare. The border control system is still a nightmare. But we are ready, Taiwanese, to intervene in the border control system, Madam Speaker. For the last two quarters, there has been no capital allocation for the police for capital expenditure. Get me right. There has been no capital allocation to the police for capital expenditure for the last two quarters, Madam Speaker.
Honourable Member, you have 10 more minutes to complete your speech.
How much time you give me?
Madam Speaker, I beg to invoke Section 3210, I think it is, to allow the Honourable Member another 60 minutes to complete his presentation.
Honourable Members, the question is that Standing Order 3210 be invoked to allow the Honourable Member for Catherine's East an additional 60 minutes to complete his presentation. I now put the question, as many as are of that opinion, say aye. As many as are of a contrary opinion, say no. Clerk, Deputy Clerk, a division, please.
On aura Philippe Gauthier qui m'a dit pour quelqu'un qui finit 10 minutes encore avec un. Il m'a dit pour 30 minutes à venir, l'autre qui m'a dit ça encore, mais façade lui supporter, mais façade de vêtements pas supporter. Alors il y a un vote à présent pour déterminer qui résulte à qui.
Certainly, Michael, the Honourable Representative for Catherine East, Mr. Philippe G. Pierre, requested 1 hour of additional time in order to complete his presentation, and he certainly got the support and the nod of his side of the House. And on the opposite side of the House, there was a very resonating no. So in order to verify the outcome of this special count,
the division, the ayes have 6 votes and the noes have 7 votes. So I think the noes have it. Honourable Member for Gozile.
Madam Speaker, I move for the suspension of running order 3210 to allow
Honourable Members, the question is that Standing Order 3210 be invoked to allow Honourable Member for Patrick East, an additional 15 minutes to complete his presentation. I now put the question, as many as are of that opinion, say aye. As many as are of the contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Honourable Member, you have, in addition to the rest of your hour, an additional 15 minutes.
Surprise, man. That's the same government that speaks about bipartisan. That's the same government that speaks about all the solutions being involved in the development of the country. That is the same government that speaks about involvement, discussion and debate. But in a budget debate, the only time that the members, elected members, have time to speak to the constituents, you want to shut me up, man, Speaker. But no problem, no problem. Time will tell. Time will tell, man, Speaker. Man, Speaker, but they will not shut me down, because they will not shut the people of Saint Lucia down. That's what they want to do. They want to make the people of Saint Lucia shut up. But the people of Saint Lucia will show them that if they can come to the parliament and use their majority to stop the opposition from speaking, man, Speaker, the people will let them pay for that. So I put you in the hands of the people. Madam Speaker, there has been no capital allocation to the police for the last two quarters. No two boats have been purchased. The marine unit in Viewfort, the police marine unit in Viewfort, they go on drug eradication with a fishing boat. That is what they use in Viewfort, a fishing boat. Madam Speaker, the government allowed the forensic lab to stay closed because they want to play politics with it, Madam Speaker, and they refuse to give the forensic lab any money for its operations, Madam Speaker, because they wanted to play politics of crime. That's what they do, play politics of crime, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, there has been no serious fiscal policy issues in the budget, Madam Speaker. It is clear. The budget was prepared by different people with different agendas and different philosophies, Madam Speaker. There's a lack of coherence and continuity in the proposals in all the sectors. In 2007, a unit trust was proposed. That unit trust has disappeared. The policy of national ownership of hotels has also disappeared. Phased development of the universal healthcare system promised in 2007 has also disappeared, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, that is a joke. It sounds like a comedy, Madam Speaker, but it's serious. That's the future of St. Lucia. That's the future of the people of St. Lucia, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the government is arrogant. The government is arrogant and selfish, Madam Speaker. Demonstrated this morning, they're arrogant and they're selfish, Madam Speaker. And they want to victimize people. They want to affect people's living. It's an arrogant government that is in it. An arrogant government, Madam Speaker, that is in it, Madam Speaker. The government is so arrogant that they could have the budget debate over 3 days. Why have you parliament meet once a week in every jurisdiction? In Jamaica, parliament meet once a week. In Trinidad, parliament meets once a week. In Jamaica, parliament meets once a week. In Barbados, in England, parliament meets once a week. But in St. Lucia, you meet once every 4 or 5 months. And when parliamentarians want to express what they say, you want to shut them up. The government is arrogant and refuses to answer questions, even when $500 million is involved, Madam Speaker. From 2008, the Prime Minister spoke of the expansion of Iwanura Airport. Madam Speaker, let me make it clear that their party is not opposed to any development in St. Lucia. No development in St. Lucia. We're not opposed to that, Madam Speaker. However, what we are saying is an expenditure of that magnitude must be discussed, and there must be transparency and accountability at all levels and in all aspects of that development. That is why the voice of St. Lucia, the voice of St. Lucia in its issue of the 17th of April, the voice of St. Lucia said that the government must prevent, and I quote, the government must prevent one of the largest single investments that will ever be undertaken in St. Lucia to be forever tainted by allegations of corruption by allegations of corruption, sin, and even worse, that have been aired in the local media. Not my words, the words of the voice of the Lucia Man Speaker. Man Speaker, $500 million debt will increase the external debt, which is stated at $1 billion in the social and economic review tabled by this government. It increases by 40% the external debt and will take the national debt to over $2 million, Man Speaker. $2 billion. But the government doesn't want to pay attention. Don't ask any questions. The Prime Minister wants to give us the excuse that he will ensure that everything will sell. $2 billion involved. But you want to tell a few of us that take your word for it. Trust you. Madam Speaker, that debt will compromise the ability of the country to borrow for future infrastructural projects. It will compromise it, Madam Speaker, because the debt ratio of the country, after you've incurred that $500 million debt, will bring the GDP ratio to near 90%. And even though you don't incur it, it's going to be that contingently. So you still have the responsibility. Stop these flashing mirrors. From 2008, Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister noted, and I quote, and I'll read what he said. He said a firm, Sequeira and Gavaret, I know where he got from, has been hired for the preparation of a master plan for the complete redevelopment of the Hiwanura International Airport. And he said, discussions are at an advanced stage with regard to the mobilizing of financing for the implementation of this major upgrade of our principal airport. Where is that plan, Madam Speaker? Madam Speaker, how many tourists visit the country because of the airport? So you're going to leave the United States and you come to St. Lucia for the airport. That's a bluff. You're going to leave England and come to St. Lucia for the airport. Madam Speaker, that's what? You want to, you say you're gonna have an airport to upgrade. Then Madam Speaker, wants it better not to spend $500 million on one project and fix the road and fix the road from Castries to Beaufort? From Castries to Beaufort so that tourists would have a more comfortable ride when they reach Beaufort, coming to the hotels in the north, Madam Speaker. But you want to compromise the debt ratio of the country. You want to compromise Strasbourg's ability. I'm talking about Strasbourg in the flashing mirrors. They want to make you understand that Antil is a company. Antil is a subsidiary of Strasbourg. All the profits or the non-profits made by Antil go to Strasbourg. But flashing mirrors, Madam Speaker. The government, Madam Speaker, instead of giving answers, they attack people. That's all they do, attack people. Attack. It's a government that believes in attack. In attack to hide their sin. They attack, Madam Speaker, tourism. This year, the Prime Minister, he came to his senses. He reduced the allocation given to his Minister for Tourism. He came to his senses because for 3 years, he has given that minister $150 million for 3 years, Madam Speaker. And still for that, tourism growth is negative. And still for that, people are losing their jobs in hotels. Still for that, vendors can't sell anything. Still for that, taxi drivers are complaining. The banks are repossessing their vehicles. Still for that, hotel workers are losing their jobs. Still for that, hotels are closing down. Still for that, Madam Speaker, the people in the sector are not happy. They have no confidence. The banks do not give hotel workers loans because they say that they're not sure about their salary because hotels are closing down. But it's given $150 million. Still for that, Madam Speaker. The earnings from the hotel sector have decreased by $100 million. That's why they want to shut me down. By $100 million, our earnings from the hotel sector has decreased. But the Prime Minister has given $150 million for the tourism industry. Because you know what? The Prime Minister has been made to understand that tourism is public relations. So you come here and you quote all sorts of figures. Figures that have no relevance. You just say things. Just say figures. And that has confused the cabinet. And I'm surprised. Members of the cabinet allow that to happen. I'm surprised, Madam Speaker. Because there's no basis for these figures. There's no basis for these figures, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the government of St. Lucia has spent millions of dollars in airline subsidies. Millions of dollars. Moi, jamais des ministres tourisme pour 10 gens cette ici. Combien l'argent vous avez buy American Airlines et vous avez buy WestJet et vous avez buy JetBlue? Vous pas dit. In Jamaica, the Minister of Tourism may be held before the court for using the tourist board money to subsidize airlines. Can I tell you, sir? It's a secret. It's a state secret, man speaker. What is the cost of airlift? How much are we paying airlines to come to St. Lucia, man speaker? How much are we paying them? We need to know how much are we paying airlines to come to St. Lucia. And if you're paying airlines so much money, why do you still have a negative growth in tourism arrival? Madam Speaker, the government of St. Lucia has spent millions of dollars on branding. And you know what the branding is? Two yellow lines on an envelope. That's what the branding is, you know. Two yellow lines on an envelope. I'll show it to you. You have any lesson here? That's what two yellow lines. One, two, three. A blue one, a flower line, and a blue one. That is what they have. That is the rebranding. Millions of dollars in branding, man speaker. And let me quote to you something from The Economist. It says, busting the branding board bubble. And it says, branding only works on cattle. Madam Speaker, why is we are doing that? Why is we spent $150 million on tourism? We have nothing new. This government cannot show me one new initiative in the tourism industry. There's not one new one except pay more money for airlines. Not one new initiative. What did they do? The same thing. Right now, St. Lucia Week, they went in with a big delegation, something I put together. What else they have? Tours by, they have co-op marketing, I put that together. Nothing new. But what I had to deal with when I had the largest amount of visitors, the largest number of visitors in the United States, was only $11 million. And that's why I did it. But now you have $150 million and you have a decrease in tourism arrivals. But, Madam Speaker, the government complains and says the recession that causes that. If the recession is causing that, why haven't you developed your product at home? Why are you spending money when you know very well that there is a recession in the source market and people will not travel? So what you do? You develop your product. You develop your product at home. And right now, as the recession is easing, now you put your money in marketing. That's what now you put it. But now you've decreased this, Madam Speaker. And what do? You give airlines money. But you're attacking Liat. Liat, Madam Speaker. The government is attacking Liat, Madam Speaker. The government refuses to understand that Liat has an integral part to play in the aviation industry in the region, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, some time ago, flashing mirrors, they said that Liat, they said that there are taxes being put on Liat. And these taxes, the government doesn't know anything about these taxes, Madam Speaker. Let me tell you the facts, Madam Speaker. Let me tell you the facts. So that's why they want to shut me down. Facts. A ticket to St. Lucia from Barbados. The base fare, $338. Ticket tax, $10.12. Departure tax, $68. Security charge, $13. Passenger transportation, $1. Fuel surcharge, $90.45. Departure tax, Barbados, $74. Other Barbados taxes, $45.58. $324 worth of taxes out of a fare of $640. That is the situation. People here, but we attack here, and we subsidize airlines. And these airlines that we are subsidizing, we are giving them other concessions. Like American Airlines, we've taken the CDSL agreement that we had. CDSL used to pay $750,000 a year. Now, we moved it to 1.5. They have reduced it to $750,000 and they still subsidize American Airlines. That is what you're doing with taxpayers' money. That's why you're doing it. That's why you want to shut me down. That's why you're doing taxpayers' money. So, Madam Speaker, all the talk about Liat. Let me tell you something about Liat, Madam Speaker. Of course, Liat has issues. Of course, Liat has problems. But Liat carries Liat carried from January in St. Lucia 6,050 people, out of St. Lucia 7,000, in February 6,000, out of St. Lucia 5,000, and in March 6,000 in and $6,500 out, man speaker. So you don't need to close Liat down. You don't need to attack Liat. You need to work with Liat because you are subsidizing airlines. And which airline in the world now makes profit? No airlines make profit, but you continue to attack Liat. You know why? American Eagle. You boasting about American Eagle. You said American Eagle would fly from Barbados to St. Lucia. You said American Eagle would go from Barbados to St. Lucia to Huanura. American Eagle, after you paid it, it flew once and it disappeared. But Liat remains. We continue to attack Liat. Madam Speaker, have we spent the resources that we've given to the tourism industry in a sustainable manner? Madam Speaker, the government speaks about village tourism. Village tourism, Madam Speaker. But why do they talk about village tourism? The products, the nature heritage tourism products that's supposed to mirror village tourism, the minister wants to close it down for lack of security. Instead of working with them to improve security, they want to close it down for lack of security, Madam Speaker. And you talk about village tourism. And you talk about village tourism, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the January tourism plan that the government is speaking about, that plan is an EU-funded project. That project is 4 years late. The member for Denny North knows that. It is 4 years late. The minister is sleeping on the job. 4 years late. He cannot get that EU program moving. And talk about, because what did he do? You stop the Nature Heritage Tourism Program. Because we initiated it, you stop it. But right now, you want to recall it, you want to call it a different name, call it the Village Tourism Program, when it's the same Nature Heritage Tourism Program, which you could have continued. But no, you want to stop. You want to stop everything the Labour Party did, you want to stop it. While you put a country in reverse. So you get back, you go back 4 years, Madam Speaker. I'm going to stand down.
On my clock, you have 7 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the people say, Mula kai kopon, mwete vle pale abad gafe yo. Pou plitan, le gouvernement, tout bout mwen. Yo kai kopon sa. Merci, yo kai se, jamais achan yo kai kopon sa. Merci, yo kai kopon sa, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the government, all in a sudden, they have a new love affair with cruise tourism. All in a sudden, the minister has found that cruise tourism is the way to go. All in a sudden. Only recently, he woke up one morning and he saw that cruise was good, that cruise helped taxi drivers. All in a sudden. That's the same minister who touched me when I was talking about cruise tourism. The same minister who said that the cruise tourism will not benefit once come into the country because of cruise tourism. Now, he's allowed the Prime Minister to allow him to spend $7 million for FTCA conference. I defy the Prime Minister to tell me one benefit from the cruise tourism, from the FTCA conference. You know what's the benefit? Norwegian Lines left St. Lucia. That's the benefit. That's what you got from the FTCA conference. Norwegian Lines left St. Lucia. That's the benefit you got from it. But you spent, I came and I said to you, I said, do not spend your money on that. Because Guatemala that gets millions of tourists, not they refuse it. But you took $7 million in spending it. $7 million, Madam Speaker, just to have a big party to boost people's egos. And I'm sure there are members of the cabinet who agree with me. They understand how the tourism business works. They agree with me. I'm a supporter of tourism. I want to create an enabling environment for tourism. I want hotels to make money. I want hotel workers to get employment. I want taxi drivers to get employment. I want vendors to sell. I'm a full supporter of tourism, Madam Speaker. But what I know is my policies, there is a strategic vision. My policies would lead to the sustainable development of tourism. My policies would lead to the benefit of tourism accruing to as many people as possible. My policies would lead to increased linkages. Linkages are shrinking, Madam Speaker, because now look at what's happened in the transport. Hotels want to have their own buses, don't have their own cars, Madam Speaker. So the linkages are shrinking. The linkage, look at the incentives that are being given, Madam Speaker. No thoughts, just talk. sound, nice sounding phrases that have no backing in any logic or any statistical proof. Just talk, 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 talk. So what happened? You spent $150 million and tourism has decreased by 5%. Madam Speaker, since the government has taken my time, I want now to deal with my constituency, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I really want Monsieur Jean-Marchal Kaikopon, Mette Vlepali, please, Puyo. Monsieur Jean Cassis is Kaikopon, sir. I would really have liked to speak more about them, but I want to thank them, Madam Speaker. I really want to thank them for their support. This year is going to be 13 years since I've represented these people of Cassis East. Cassis East, Madam Speaker. And you know these satisfied people. And you know why, Madam Speaker? Because they know me and I know them. I live with them. I live among them. I understand them. When there are water shortages, they have it and I have it. When there are electricity goes off, it goes off at their home, it goes off at my home. When there are any problems in the constituency, it affects them and it affects me. So, Madam Speaker, for 13 years, I've represented them and I thank them for that, Madam Speaker. But, Madam Speaker, I want to tell them that I have written the Minister of Social Transformation and the SSDF, and I must say, Madam Speaker, the Minister for Social Transformation, sometimes when he is in his good mood, when the politics doesn't get to him, he does a couple things for me. Sometimes, most of the time, I can talk to him, unlike certain ministers. I ask him to cut the grass in the bocage in the Enchimo field. He's done it. And he's assured me that it's going to be done all the time. I've asked him to repair the bocage playing field. He hasn't done it, but he's told me that he will do it. But I've written them to tell them I want to know what they intend to do in my constituency. Because I am the district representative. The people voted for me. I want to know what they will do. So I wrote him. I wrote the SSDF. And I must tell you, Madam Speaker, the SSDF, they have done some work in my constituency. And I appreciate it. Because anything that will benefit the people of Cassis East, I stand for it. That is why I want the Minister for Communication Works to fix the Bocage Road. The people of Bocage need that Bocage Road fixed. And the Minister of Health must deal with the health center, the Enchimo Health Center, Madam Speaker. And the slope stability program that we started in Bagatelle and Tiwouj, we want that continued. We want the slope stability program continued, Madam Speaker. And talking about arrogance, we wrote the Minister of Planning about the AGAD land. Up to now, the Minister has not responded. What the people of AGAD, the people of Pavi in AGAD land, in Paul Augustine land, sorry, what they want to do is they want to be able to buy Paul Augustine land in Pavi. They want to be able to buy the land on which their houses are situated. I wrote the Minister of Planning, he hasn't responded. I have a petition, he has responded. I'm going to write you, Mr. Prime Minister, with a petition so you cannot say you did not know. Madam Speaker, the Constituency Development Fund, good initiative, but I hope there's equality. I really hope that all the constituencies benefit equally from the Constituency Development Fund, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, I am for the development of Cassis East. Madam Speaker, when Cassis East develops, I develop because I live in Cassis East. So, Madam Speaker, I benefit also. So, Madam Speaker, I hope that when things have been done in my constituency, I have a right to be consulted. I will cooperate with the government when it comes to the benefit of the people of Cassis East, Madam Speaker. I have no confidence in the budget as delivered by the Prime Minister. Why should I believe any of the proposals outlined when there has been a pattern of misinformation, mistruths, empty promises, broken promises? There are no measures that will stimulate the economy and increase employment. Most of the capital budget is financed by loans and grants. The government has no policy with regard to VAT. In 2010, the budget statement said that government aims for the introduction of VAT within 12 months by May 2008. the government promised the IMF to introduce that as a condition for the facility received last year.
Honourable Member, you want to end on that statement?
Madam Speaker, 2 minutes.
I think your wrap-up has, we have got the sense of your wrap-up.
Madam Speaker, history will have to record that the greatest tragedy of this period was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people. I thank you, Madam Speaker.